an incredible privilege we have every Sunday to be able to come and to worship the Lord, to get to know Him better, right? And I hope we don't take that for granted. I know we come in here distracted sometimes with things that just happen at home, the fight with your wife or the fight with your husband or the fight with your kid and that sort of thing, the debate you're having right now about El Bracero or Mucho Mas, I get all that. But put all that aside. We need to put all that aside, though, because I promise you, God absolutely has something for us. From the opening prayer and the announcements that Roger did, to the communion that Rick did, to the message here, the worship songs, we do all these elements for a reason. The main reason, the only reason, is because they're biblical. But also, God wants to speak to us through those. God has a message, perhaps the only message for you today, came in the opening prayer. And if you come distracted, if you come with the wrong spirit or wrong attitude, with not an open heart, you miss it. You miss it. So I really encourage you, when you come on Sunday, to give the Lord your full attention, to soak in all that He has, because I promise you that we have prayed, we have prepared, we have done our best, and I promise you that God will show up if you'll do your part and show up. And perhaps through the prayer, perhaps through the music, perhaps through the communion, perhaps through the offering. I know some of you don't like that. Some of you don't like to sing. But God has something in that for you if you'll pay attention, if you'll put everything aside and you'll focus on Him. All the elements in the service are there for a reason. And now we move to the element of the Word of God. One of the coolest elements, though, we have in our services is baptism that we get to do. Now, we don't get to do it here because we've never had a baptismal here. And I'm excited to be able to have that. We can't wait to be able to do that in front of our church family, to allow you to be a part of that. But we've had the opportunity at multiple lakes and pools and churches to be a part of, whether it be witness or to participate in baptism. And there's something incredible, something pretty awesome that happens when somebody's baptized. And perhaps if you've been baptized, you know what I'm talking about there. But there's a wonderful thing to see a person, young or old, stand before others, stand before God, stand before their family, stand before their friends and say, you know what? I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And I accept Him as my Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins. There's something about that that's incredibly powerful, incredibly amazing. And I can't wait till we can do that here. But we're doing that next week at Assembly of God on Boyd Boulevard. I know four or five people jumped in after the first service to get on the thing. I'm not sure when we got now, Roger, but I think it's 7 or 8. And if that's something you haven't done, do. But if you've already done that, don't check out on me, because what we're talking about today, this baptism all throughout the Bible is talked about, it's always linked with other things. It's linked with faith. It's linked with confession. It's linked with repentance. It's not just baptism. You could sit there and say, well, yeah, I believe and I've been baptized. And you think this isn't about you, but there's so much more to it than that. There's so many amazing things linked to Jesus' baptism, which we're going to look at, and to our baptism and what we get from that. We're going to look at the scriptures and see those kinds of things. But I really hope that you will look at this and not just say, well, you know what, I've been baptized, so this isn't about me. Because I'm almost certain that all of us could stand to be more submissive to the Lord, more obedient to Him, that we could confess some things that we need to get off our chest, that we could repent, which means to get rid of some of those behaviors that we know aren't of Him. And all those things are tied to baptism. We see it all throughout the scriptures. So we can't separate those things. They have to come together. And so search your heart. Allow God to search your heart and see where you're at with that. But baptism is an incredible thing. I read a story of a, I'm getting there, hang on. I read a story of a pastor who was young. It was his first baptismal. It was his first baptismal service ever. Now, he had been baptized as a young man, but it had been years since he had been baptized. And he wondered how different it would be to feel, to be the one doing the baptism rather than the one being baptized. I thought that too before my first time I baptized somebody. He nervously said the appropriate words, and he lowered the person into the water. And I had been there. I still cringe every Sunday I get up here, every time I do a wedding or a funeral, every time I do a baptismal, my nerves are a wreck, because I don't want to dishonor God, I don't want to say something that's not biblical, and I don't want to mislead any of you by something I say. And so my nerves are wrecked. So I can relate to this guy when he says this. But anyway, he nervously said all the appropriate words, and he lowered the person into the water. When the person reached the deepest point, he felt the person's body jolt and tighten. And the minister thought to himself, wow. So that's how it feels when the person's sins are forgiven and they receive the Holy Spirit. So after the baptism, he asked the person, did you feel that jolt when the Spirit came into you? And the person said, no. But I did feel it when you hit my head on the baptistry step. And we've been there. We've seen that. Roger's fallen into baptistry. It can be a dangerous thing. I've seen people drop people. I've seen people hit their heads. I've never done that. Knock on wood. But come next Sunday, and we can see if we can make that happen. Baptism can be a fun thing, but it's such an amazing thing. And the Holy Spirit really does come into you, and it really is a powerful thing in your heart. If you've been baptized, you know what I'm talking about. And if you got baptized as a little kid, trust me, you don't know. You don't know what I'm talking about unless you've really been baptized and you understand what that means. Today we're going to look at the baptism of Jesus because, golly, if it's good enough for him, it ought to be good enough for us, you think? The only one without sin decides to go ahead and go and be baptized. The life of Christ, a journey through the Gospels, that's what this series is about, because who better to learn from than the greatest teacher to ever walk the face of the earth? So we're going to be looking at some of the things he said, some of the things he did in this case. He got baptized. Some of the ways he treated people. Hopefully that we can learn and draw closer to him and learn more about him. So as we look at the Gospels, a journey through the Gospels, Mark, Matthew, and Luke all talk about Jesus' baptism. John only alludes to it that it happened. All four of the Gospels, though, talk about this pioneer, this guy who paved the way, this guy by the name of John the Baptist. Perhaps you've heard of him. He's a cousin of Jesus. He was a good speaker. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. But he was a weird dude. I mean, if you go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 4, and you kind of look at him a little bit and what he was all about, he lived in the wilderness, which is a bit strange, unless perhaps you do that, I don't know. He could probably have been on Doomsday Preppers. I don't know if you guys saw that show, but I haven't ever seen it, but he probably could be that. He had a weird primitive diet. It says in verse 4, chapter 3, Matthew, if you want to look it up later, that he his clothing, first I'm looking at his clothing, his attire, his primitive clothing, he wore camel's hair and a leather belt. I don't know about you. Perhaps that's your favorite attire at home. If so, I'll pray for your wife. But camel's hair and a leather belt. And then it says what he ate, his diet, was locusts and wild honey, which is grasshoppers. Not my cup of tea. But so these people, they looked at this guy. Here he is. He lives in the wilderness. He dresses uniquely. He eats a different diet. And he's preaching this gospel. His message is repent and be baptized. Not be baptized. He's not just baptizing people in the Jordan. He's saying repent and be baptized. You see, they're linked together in his message, and it's affirmed in a little bit by Jesus and in the Holy Spirit and in God. We'll look at that in just a minute. Now, the religious leaders had no idea what to do with this guy. You know, do you approach him? I mean, he's a little off-center, obviously. So how do you go about this? So they just kind of stayed back, and they just kind of watched and kept an eye on him to see what he would do. Kind of like what Roger and I do with some of you guys. We kind of stand back and keep an eye on you and see what you guys are up to. But the common people listened to what he had to say and repented and got baptized. That's what the word tells us. That's how he got the nickname John the Baptizer, or you've heard of him as John the Baptist. So that's kind of how it happened. Now we're going to look at some passages of scripture about the baptism. Matthew chapter 3, if you want to look at that in your Bibles with me, 13 through 17. This is where the encounter takes place. John the Baptist is doing all this baptizing. He's baptizing everybody. And here comes Jesus along. This is probably pretty uneasy moment for John. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? I mean, think about that. Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, he who is without sin, comes to you and says, I need you to baptize me? Really? I mean, how many times has God asked us to do something that we kind of feel like, man, I'm not worthy to do that? That's what this is all about. John's thinking the same thing, just like you and I. How am I supposed to do that? And so Jesus reassures him and affirms him in verse 15. Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And that was good enough for John, and so he consented to have this done. And then we have two of the most wonderful verses in all of the Bible, verses 16 and 17. The baptism of Jesus. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Those are an amazing couple of verses. They carry such an incredible story. Heaven opened up and the Spirit of God descended like a dove and landed on him. The voice of the Father spoke from heaven, "You are my Son." This is referred to as a Trinitarian passage, if you don't know what that means. It's the Trinity all revealed in one passage. We have Jesus, the Son of God, being baptized. We have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, coming down. And we have our Heavenly Father in heaven saying, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And so all three are represented here in this passage. So it's an incredibly beautiful and powerful passage where we see the work of God and in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Thus why we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because that's how Jesus did it. And that's probably a good reason to do it ourselves that way. Notice with me what God the Father said to Jesus at his baptism. It's one thing, the words, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." But what caught my attention was, notice he doesn't say this after Jesus raised some guy from the dead, which would have been probably appropriate, right? I mean, "With you I'm well pleased, you are my Son, I love you." Yeah, you raised a guy from the dead. Or somebody blind, you gave their sight back to him or her. Perhaps that would be something that God the Father would open up and say to Jesus, "Wow, I'm with you, I love you, and I'm well pleased." It wasn't after those things, though. He said this when Jesus was baptized. You think baptism is important? Only one other time in Scripture does he say this. Does God from heaven speak and say these things to his Son? And it's in Matthew 17. And it's the Transfiguration. It says, "After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light." That would have been a pretty cool experience. "Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.'" And then we get to our verse. "While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" And he added to it this time for him, for you and I. He said, "Listen to him. Listen to him." You see, he wanted those disciples, he wanted those who were witnessing this, not just to hear that he was pleased with his Son, because he did that at the baptism. But he does that in Matthew 17, verses 1 through 7, because he wants them to know that they're on the right track, but he also wants them to listen to him. So he adds that in, and we would do well to do that as well. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. What's awesome about God is he doesn't leave us in that place. I've been in that place. Perhaps you've been in that place. But Jesus came and he touched them and he said, "Get up and don't be afraid." Because that's not how he wants us to be. He wants us to understand that he loves us and he's there for us and he came into this world not to be above us, but to be God with us, God alongside of us. So it's a great passage of scripture and affirmation. But back to our Matthew 3, this Jesus baptism. Who do you think the words of Jesus' baptism were for? Who do you think needed to hear those? I was looking at this thing. Do you think Jesus needed to hear those words? And I think, yeah, he probably did. Did John need to hear those words? Yeah, I think he did too. What about the other witnesses who were witnessing the baptism as they're standing there waiting and Jesus gets in line and gets baptized? Did they need to hear what the Father said? Absolutely. They're sitting over there wondering, is this really what I'm supposed to do, is get baptized, be immersed in the water by John? Kind of like you're sitting there thinking right now, I haven't been baptized, or I was three and I really didn't know what it meant. And you're thinking that same thing, and Jesus comes along right in front of them and gets baptized, and his Father affirms him. So I think it was for Jesus. I think those words were for John. I think it was for the witnesses that were there. And I think it was for you and me to know that this is what God wants us to do. The Apostle John recorded it this way. Then John gave this testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him." This is John the Baptist talking in the Gospel of John. "I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." It affirmed John the Baptist's work. You see, he had been preparing the way for the Messiah. He had been called to do this. But even when you're called to do something, you kind of wonder, am I doing the right thing? Is this really what God wants me to do? Is this, you know, am I on the right path? Right? We all feel that way. And he gets affirmed and he gets confirmed by God sending his son and say, baptize my son, John. Just as you've been baptizing everybody else, just as you've been telling everybody else to repent and baptize, I affirm, I confirm your ministry. This is exactly what you're supposed to be doing for me. And that's pretty cool stuff. But I believe it's also important for Jesus to hear these words as well. You have to understand all through history, he had this opportunity to understand what was going to happen because he's all-knowing and ever-present. So he had all this time, and then he had 30 years of an earthly life to be considering this, what was going to happen. So as he comes to this point when he's 30 years old and he comes to John the Baptist to be baptized, he needed to hear that he was on the right track. He needed to hear that he was doing what his father wanted him to do. And so I believe that those words that his father spoke and the Spirit coming down upon him was for Jesus as well, to let him know, I'm pleased with you. I love you. But I think, like I said, I think they were for the witnesses as well. I think they were for you and I as well, to know that this is what we need to do. And that's why if you haven't done it, I encourage you to do it. The sentence that God spoke in that passage is comprised of two quotations from the Old Testament that would have been familiar to every Jew standing there. Both quotations are from verses describing the Messiah and his work, spoken hundreds of years ago. This is my beloved son is a quotation from Psalm 2, verse 7, and with whom I am well pleased is a quotation from Isaiah 42, verse 1. Now those won't be on the test later. I just thought those were interesting because I love to be able to look back some 700 years earlier how God said this was going to happen, and this is exactly how it happened. So how that all ties in. Anyway, that's the how. But the real question for you and I is not necessarily the how it happened and looking at how it happened, because that's really cool. But where we usually struggle is why. But why was Jesus baptized? Okay, we understand he was, and we saw how it played out, but why? John the Baptist certainly didn't think he needed to be baptized. That's why he said, man, you need to baptize me. I'm in no shape to baptize you. And Jesus' response was, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Now, we'll understand that righteousness in a little bit because we're going to come back to that. But the only person who was without sin, yet he still needed to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. Now, there's several things that I think that the baptism of Jesus accomplished or reveals to us. The first one is this. I think it revealed the identity of him to John. And that was really, really important. John, like I said, he needed to be confirmed. He needed to be affirmed in his ministry. And after the baptism of Jesus, John continued to point people to Christ. He continued to do that same ministry because he was affirmed and confirmed that he was doing the right thing. And when some of John's disciples pointed out that many of his followers were leaving him and following Jesus, now that doesn't ever happen, is it? That, you know, people don't pick sides or pick leaders. Or no. But that's what was happening. This is what John's response was in John 3:30. It's a great response. He must become greater and I must become less. John's followers saying, John, but they're following Jesus. They're over there getting they're getting baptized by him, and they're not following you anymore. You're losing your people. And he says, he must become greater. I must become less. He kept on doing his ministry, he kept on doing what the Lord called him to, but it wasn't about him. It was about God being glorified and him being obedient. How many of us would do a lot better if every morning we woke up and prayed that? God, more of you and less of me. Every night we went to bed, God, more of you, less of me. Just that one verse, just memorize John 3:30 and pray that prayer and be honest about it and really want God to do that in your life, that he would increase and that you would decrease. It's a great prayer. I think all of our lives would be changed if we do that. So therefore, one of the reasons why Jesus was baptized was to reveal his identity to John. The second reason, Jesus identified himself with us sinners. We needed a Savior who could identify with us. We needed someone who knew what we were going through. We'll talk about that next week with the temptation side of things, because he got that too. But we needed a guy who wouldn't just be above us, but that would come alongside of us, that would walk with us, that would go through the same human experience, mostly, that we went through. And that's what happens here. Although Christ was never guilty of any sin, he submitted himself, that being the key word, submitted himself to baptism as a means of recognizing the fact that he was fully human. In God's plan, Jesus was to participate fully in the human experience. He didn't come to be God above us. He came to be God with us. I love how Luke says it in Luke 3, verse 21. In Luke's version of the baptism of Jesus, he wrote this: when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. That simple. Not a bunch of pomp and circumstance. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. It's wonderful to know that we have a God who has identified with us. Isn't it? Came to understand what we go through and to come alongside of us and not be above us. The third reason is this. Jesus was baptized to give us an example to follow. Everything he did was follow me or follow my example. He always led by example. He never told us to do something he wasn't willing to do himself. It's not like how we parent, we say, do as I say, not as I do. You know, this is what we say to our kids, right? So we're doing something we're not supposed to do. Jesus never did that. He didn't say, do as I say, not as I do. He said, do as I say and do as I do. And if that means death on a cross, if that means accepting the punishment of all, if that means being baptized even though I'm not a sinner, do that. Why? Because the Heavenly Father wants me to do that, and he wants you to do that as well. And so he gives us an example, a real example that we can follow and be safe following, because it's never going to, he's never going to mislead us, and he's never going to ask us to do something that he would not do himself. And finally, he was baptized to be consecrated for ministry. We can look way back when Moses took Aaron and his sons, and at the pool by the temple, he consecrated them, he baptized them, because that's what priests needed to be that in order to be able to take the sins of the people on them. Well, we'll talk about that next week, so I don't want to go into a lot, but we have a priest in Jesus Christ that's better than any priest that ever walked the face of the earth, and that's what the whole baptism and the things about, but we'll come back to that. But he was consecrated for ministry. You see, Jesus' baptism marked this important transition in his life from a hidden preparation, all those years in heaven waiting, and then 30 years on earth living a perfect life. It was a hidden preparation to a life of public proclamation. Baptism changed it. That's what kicked off his ministry. So it's a very, very important event. As Jesus made that public proclamation, God put his stamp of approval on Jesus and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. And from that point forward, power from heaven would carry him through his ministry of redemption. The righteousness, remember, that we talked about, that Jesus fulfilled in his baptism was not on his own behalf, it was on ours. When we ask the question, why was Jesus baptized? A simple answer would be because we needed him to be. You needed him to be. And I needed him to be. That's why. He didn't need to be. He didn't get baptized so he could be saved. He got baptized so that you could be saved. He got baptized so that I could be saved. Don't miss this. It's not just a neat little event. It's not just a little ritual that happened. It's not just something in our lives that we just kind of go through. It's life changing. And there's incredible wonder and a message in all of this. Look at Corinthians for a second. 2 Corinthians. God made him who had no sin to be sin for you and I, so that in him we might become the righteous. That's what God meant when he said, let it be so to fulfill all righteousness. He is. In order for you and I to come to him and exchange our filthy rags, our sinful nature, our rotten lives, he needed to do this. So now we can come to him. We can say, hey, can I trade you? Can I clothe myself with your righteousness instead of my junk? And he says, absolutely, I've done that for you. Ponder that for a second. So we move forward. Now, what about our baptism? Because as we look at our baptism, it can look the same as Jesus' baptism, because by mode or by means, we do it the same way. Jesus was immersed in water. We do the same thing. He came up out of the water. We do the same thing. His was symbolic of his death on the cross and rising back to life again. Ours is symbolic of our death to our old self and rising again to a new life. Okay, so there's symbolism in that. But there's a difference in why we got baptized. Once again, he was baptized not so that he could be saved, but so that we could be saved. We get baptized to be obedient and to do as he told us to do. Now, there's all kinds of passages about baptism. This isn't the only one in Matthew 3. There's lots of passages. I want to look at a few of them a little bit today before we leave, because I want you to understand the depth of baptism and what we gain and what it means to us. Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son." So we can tell when we look at baptism, why baptism? Well, for one, it's one of the reasons how we make disciples of all nations. That's how important baptism is. He says it in his word. Another passage in Mark 16 says, "He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned." Now, I'm going to come to that whole baptism saves at the end and explain that to you. But you got to understand the significance of baptism. It's talked about all through Scripture. We can't minimize it. So, well, I really don't need to do that. I've confessed faith, so I'm good to go. Be careful. I believe with all my heart that God says if you confess your faith, then you will repent and you will be baptized, because they all go hand in hand. And if one of those is missing, that's the one that God wants you to work on. Another passage here in John 3. In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." And then Nicodemus gets a little confused about his mom giving birth again. "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus said, "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." And Jesus clarified for him, thankfully. Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit." And that's why Jesus was baptized in water, and the Spirit came down upon him. And the same thing is true for you and I. It tells us that baptism must be accompanied by faith. Faith is not accompanied by baptism. Okay, the order is not baptism and then faith. It's not the order. It's not baptism and then faith. And that, I'm not picking on anybody or trying to knock anybody's way doing baptism, but that's not biblical. There's nothing scriptural about, you know what, I'm going to be baptized and then I'm going to find my faith. It's, I believe in Jesus Christ, I confess my sins, I need him, and then I'm baptized. There's an order to this clearly throughout Scripture that we can see. That's what he taught. And because he taught that way, we see Peter in Acts 2 preach the first gospel sermon about repenting and being baptized. It's in verse 38. He says, 3,000 or more were there that day. And Peter says, repent and be baptized. Not just be baptized. Not just believe that there's a God and be baptized. But change your ways. Repent. Turn from your evil ways. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the forgiveness of sins. And you'll receive the Holy Spirit. And it says over 3,000 that day repented and were baptized collectively. Now, as the New Testament writers continue to go through their ministries and record God's instructions, there's more and more that comes out about the wonder of baptism. I want to briefly share a few of those things with you today. In baptism, our sins are washed away. That's pretty important stuff. Unless you're not a sinner, perhaps you don't need this. But in baptism, our sins are washed away. It says this in Acts 22:16. "And now what are you waiting for?" And that question is for you and I if you haven't been baptized. Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. There's sign-ups on the Welcome Center if you want to get in on this. Second thing he says, that in baptism, we enter into the death of Jesus and are raised to a new life. It says this in Romans chapter 6. "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death?" That's the whole symbolism of the death and rise again. "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Another thing we can understand from the water is the baptism. In baptism, God removes our old self and clothes us with Christ. How cool is that? As filthy, as terrible, as inappropriate, as whatever we might have been, God says, you know what, I'll clothe you with my righteousness. It says this in Galatians specifically. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized, all these baptism things, think about them, into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. You want to face your maker in your filthy rags, or you want to face your maker clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ? In baptism, we make a pledge and appeal to God for a clean conscience, and he saves us. I've heard this so many times, and probably Roger has two people come in there and say, you know, I just want to clear my conscience. I just want to repent of my sins, and I want him to save me. And that's scriptural. We can go right to 1 Peter, and we can see, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body. We're not taking a bath. But the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Another one. I'm going quick. In baptism, we receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not just the washing of sins. Because it's one thing to wash away sins. It's a whole other thing, isn't it, to know you're forgiven? I mean, it's one thing to say, yeah, you know, there's far as Jesus from us, he washed away. He forgave me. It's a step further than just washing away. He said, it's okay. I love you anyway. In Acts 2:38, it says that we will get our sins forgiven and will receive the Holy Spirit. Another one. In baptism, we experience the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Clearly, Jesus experienced that when he kicked off his ministry, and we can as well. It says this in Titus. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing, the baptism, of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's pretty cool stuff, isn't it? Our baptism is full of meaning and full of power, and yet sometimes we just kind of dismiss it. It was full of power for Christ. It kicked off his whole ministry. The Spirit came down upon him. God spoke from heaven only twice saying that, and one was when he was baptized, not when he saved a guy from death, not when he restored sight, but when he was baptized, God said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. I think baptism is a critical thing to God. I think he proved that by sending his Son to have it done. He didn't need to have it done. He wanted to affirm and confirm the ministry of John, that he was doing exactly what he was supposed to do. And he put his seal of approval on it, and John kept on doing it that way and led many others to repent and be baptized. Now, understand me, because I want to clarify something I said I'd clarify. I'm not trying to say that baptism has saving power in and of itself. The thief on the cross could testify to that. He was not baptized. The Bible clearly teaches that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. I want you to hear that clearly today. Baptism does not have saving power in and of itself. I think you get baptized because you have faith and you repent and you want to change your life, and Jesus did it. And so, you know, I think it's a natural progression. But Ephesians 2:8 will tell you that the Bible teaches that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible also teaches that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but are justified freely by his grace through redemption that came by Christ Jesus. That's Romans 3:21. So we're saved by Christ's work and God's grace. It is a gift. You've heard that probably. I hope if you haven't, I'm telling you. It's a gift, and it's a free gift. But how does the Bible say we'd receive that free gift? We confess our faith in him, we repent of our sins, and we get baptized. That's what the Bible says. That's his plan of salvation. It's Roger, Joe, Rick, our job to simply tell you his plan of salvation and allow you the opportunity to follow it. So that's what we do today. We don't minimize baptism because it's linked to our confession of faith and our repentance of our sins. And then we get baptized. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know if you've confessed faith. That's where it has to start, though. Baptism won't mean anything next week if you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you're not willing to repent or change your ways of life, it won't mean anything either. It's going before God. It's going before your family and friends and saying, this is my confession. I have faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I need him to be my Lord and Savior. And I repent of my sins. die to your old self, and you're raised again to a new life, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So who needs to be baptized? Pray with me. Father God, I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who, although didn't need it, went out of obedience, out of submission, as a proper example for each one of us. He went to John the Baptist, and he affirmed his ministry and said, I need to be baptized by you. I am entering into this human element alongside of, not above, but with my creation, the people of this earth, humanity. And he was baptized with everybody else. Father, I don't know where each one of us is at, but I know, God, it's got to start with a confession of faith in you and your Son, Jesus, as our Lord and Savior. We have to confess we can't do it on our own. We have to repent of our sins, which means we have to admit the wrong in our lives and turn our lives to a different thing, a better thing, your way. And Father, then we need to be baptized. We can't be ashamed. We can't be embarrassed. We can't say, well, you know, I don't need that. We got to do it because your word calls us to do it, and your Son did it. Father, at the end of the day, help us to be submissive. Help us to be obedient, because that's really what this baptism is all about. It's about humbly coming before our family and friends and before you and saying, you know what? I need this. I need Jesus. And I need to repent. I need his righteousness to clothe me. So, Father, work in the hearts of each one here. If they need to confess, confess. If they need to repent, repent. If they need to be baptized, God, give them the courage to sign up and get it done. We love you, Lord. We want to honor you with our lives, for our lives are a gift from you. In Jesus' name, we pray.